Seattle Sports Snapshot.
The Mariners fell to the Red Sox 12-6 in their series opener yesterday. It wasn't a bad day for the offense, 10 hits overall for Seattle, but it wasn't enough to overcome three home runs from Trevor Story and a bad day from the bullpen. It won't be a sweep after all in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics came back big in Game 2 with a dominant 127-102 victory over Miami. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher traded barbs earlier this week, but Alabama's head coach has since walked it back. During an interview on ESPN, Saban said he was wrong to single out Fisher in his comments about NILs.
Snapshot, brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Washington chill. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Jake, I have nothing but bad news when it comes to the Mariners. So can I start my day with good news really quick?
Would sure.
Would you mind if I started with some good news?
So, go ahead.
I do want to say a sincere and heartfelt, genuinely a sincere thank you to all of the amazing Seattle Sports Station listeners who have left reviews for our podcast. I let everyone know that I had my own goal to get to 311.
Yes.
And we did it. We did it. And as
we did it already?
Yeah, well, because here's what happened. So earlier this week, I said on air, I told listeners that that I always lose bets. We make frequent bets over games and stuff, and the reward is always like donuts or something outside of the one time when I had to be a goth for a day. And that you agreed to bring in donuts if I reached my goal by next Friday.
Yes.
And listeners showed up.
Wow.
They showed up, and they left reviews. And I reached my goal. I am at 312 right now. Very proud of myself. Excited to eat those donuts. But more importantly, these reviews are all really hilarious.
Well, I checked some of these out because I wanted to look at the numbers because you were bragging about this in the sports pit. And so now, instead of waiting till Friday, I will bring them in Monday morning.
Okay.
I'll bring them in Monday morning because they delivered for you. But there are some questionable reviews here that we need to discuss.
I don't know about that. I think we can get to the Mariners here. It's, I mean, Jake,
Listeners, beware. I left one star review because of Stacy's asinine food takes, but she blackmailed me, making me delete it and give five star review. Okay, are you blackmailing people?
No,
okay,
that's insane.
All right, I'll believe you.
Okay,
but then
you.
I had this one. Stacy threatened to beat me up and take my lunch money outside of Whole Foods, so here's a five-star rating she demanded.
Okay.
Are you threatening our listeners?
Probably the same person.
You threatening people just randomly outside of grocery stores?
No, honestly, I don't know why you needed to read the reviews. I don't think that information's important. The important thing is the final number, okay, which I managed to reach. So
okay.
I wanted to start by saying, before I got into some bummer news while we continue to talk about the Mariners, I did want to start by saying thank you and everyone. You're all really, really awesome. And we really appreciate it. Jake is pretending not to, but he also very much appreciates it.
Yeah, because I lost the bet. For the first time, I lost.
Yes.
But shout out to our listeners. We have the best audience in the business. You guys are the best. Thanks for showing up. Yeah, now I got to come through on the donuts. First time ever. I don't like this.
Now, our listeners showed up. I'll tell you who didn't show up, though. The bullpen yesterday, really tough. And you know who showed up for Boston?
Yeah.
It was Trevor Story. Three home runs for Trevor Story. Why does it sting, Jake? Why does it especially sting that Trevor Story got three home runs?
Why does it sting especially? Because this was one of the players outside of Marcus Semien. But Trevor Story was highly, highly targeted by the Seattle Mariners. Out of everyone that was out there. The feeling from everyone within the organization was that the Mariners were hot and heavy on Trevor Story, and they wanted him to come here to Seattle and play second base, that they wanted him badly and really zeroed in on him and tried to be competitive. And guess what? They were in it all the way to the end, but eventually he ended up deciding to choose Boston over the Mariners and other suitors that were out there. And this stings. Watching him, you could say all you want about what he's hit, what his splits are, you know, from April to to this point. But this is exactly why you want to have somebody like this on your team. This is exactly why you would elect to pay Trevor Story. And even though he started cold and things didn't get off to a great foot for him, he has the ability to put together a night like last night. I mean, 4-for-4 with 3 home runs, 7 RBIs in one night. And guess what? Jeff Passan says he added 107 points to his season OPS in one night. In one night, Stacey. And of course, it's against the Mariners.
So I didn't want to necessarily start by talking about the game, which I know it's plenty of. But let's go to Brady. Would you mind playing cut to Scott Servais? This is him a while ago. This was on the Scott Servais show on with us talking about entering free agency.
You know, there may be a free agent or two out there that is a perfect fit for us and you're able to put a deal together. But, you know, signing free agents is not easy. And at the end of the day, you need to step up and you're going to have to pay them probably a little bit more than anybody else is willing to do to get them to come your way. You don't get many of the hometown discounts anymore in this game. Just for the game, how it's structured and how guys work so hard to get the free agency, majority of guys want to cash in. So we have to be willing to step up and it's got to be the right fit. You know, you just can't say, okay, we're just going to throw a bunch of money at this particular player. It's got to be the right fit for the player. It's also going to be the right fit for us.
I would think Trevor Story would be the right fit. I look at it this way, Jake. If the Mariners wanted to pursue Trevor Story and ultimately he was like, I need to play at shortstop or I'm not signing there. Obviously, he's not at shortstop with Boston, but there's a road in which he can with no long-term deal for Bogarts. But if you're in Seattle, you're looking at J.P. Crawford having signed that extension and saying there's no road for me to be a shortstop here. If the Mariners decided that it is worth us sacrificing this deal with Trevor Story because we feel that one of the most important pieces of our formula to become a World Series team is to repeat the chemistry we had and we felt J.P. Crawford at short was an integral part of that, then we have chosen trying to replicate that feeling over bringing in this bat. And I can kind of see that. Like I can kind of justify it, right? I don't love it, but I can see like, okay, there's a purpose.
But they didn't do that though, because they were in on Trevor Story. They were in on Trevor Story, so it tells you that
Trevor Story at second.
Yeah, they wanted him at second. And Story, obviously there was pushback from him wanting to play shortstop, but the suitors that were in on him at the end all wanted him to make a position change. So here's the thing that really stings. Okay, we just heard that cut from Scott Servais that was right after the season on the Scott Servais show with us. And he talked about having to spend more, right? And I'm sorry for Mariners fans that want the perfect deal out there for the next superstar or in free agency, that you only want the contract if you're not going to have to overpay for players. But I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen. You're going to have to overpay. And if you're in the ballpark for Trevor Story, like the Boston Red Sox, you're going to lose. You're going to lose every time. You're not going to get a star free agent to come to Seattle when the money is similar. You have to overpay for a player like Trevor Story. And let's just say our own Curtis Rogers did a little research for us. If you put Trevor Story's contract on the books for the Mariners right now, they have the 22nd payroll in all of baseball. You know what Trevor Story's contract would do for the Mariners payroll? How much it would jump? It would jack it way up, right? That's what you would think? No. It just moves it to 21st in Major League payroll. 21st! So you have the room to be able to make those types of moves. And look, of course, we're going to talk about this because Trevor Story has a monster night against the Seattle Mariners, and the offense has been struggling as of late. But these are the types of things that you look back on and you say, gosh, it would have been a great deal to have Trevor Story and to have more true, genuine depth to your lineup and in terms of all the other additions that you've made, instead of having to sacrifice and hope that, be in a position and hope and wish that Luis Torrens takes the next step, that Abraham Toro takes the next step, that Dylan Moore can take the next step. Instead of being in a position where you're relying on those players, you could have had significantly more depth to your lineup.
This is the one thing I'll say from the 206. Maybe we should wait a few more months before deciding that we should have overpaid for Trevor Story. I don't know how much longer I need to wait before deciding that Trevor Story, if he were added today, an underperforming Trevor Story added today to your lineup would be a great addition to your lineup. Like, I don't need to see a couple more months before deciding that. And secondly, I think that no matter what, you're going to have to overpay. When you miss the playoffs for 20 years, when to the outside, to outside free agents, you're a place where, like, they might go and see the end of their careers and not touch the postseason. Guess what? The consequences of your own actions are that you have to overpay. Hate to break it to you. It doesn't sound fair, but no matter what, to get a top free agent, you're probably going to have to overpay. So take that part out of it. Did you want Trevor Story or not? If you need to wait a few months to decide whether or not you'd want a great bat in this lineup, yeah, I've already decided. Trevor Story could still underperform for the rest of the season, and I promise you I still would have wanted him in this lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that he has, just like last night, in a moment, in a flash, he has the talent to be able to put together a night like last night. That's the difference. That is the difference, and it gives you hope. It gives you legitimate optimism that you can turn things around. Right? As from a individual player standpoint, and also from an overall lineup standpoint. Instead of having, let's just put it into context. You make the Jesse Winker trade. You are able to bring in Eugenio Suarez. You have Adam Frazier. Okay, these are all great moves. These are all great moves. Those don't need to be determined just because, those don't need to happen just because you didn't get Trevor Story. It should be in addition to, right? And you bring those moves, now you add Trevor Story to your lineup, now you have incredible depth. Instead of having Abraham Toro or Dylan Moore play the roles that they're playing and having all the at-bats that they're getting right now, you know who gets those at-bats? Adam Frazier. And Adam Frazier would be someone that I would love to see play that role. And that would be a genuine mark of a lineup that has real depth to it. That you have a legit veteran pro bat that is filling in that role instead of having guys that are hitting sub 200 fill out the majority of your 6 through 9 every single night.
From the 206, Trevor Story is expecting to move to shortstop after this season with Boston. We couldn't offer that to him. Yes, guys, that's what I said. I said that the Mariners might have made the calculus that, like, it is worth us keeping JP at short. We're going to extend him because he's an integral part of the chemistry we built at the end of last season. That is a decision that they made. And if that was the decision, then, like, I can buy it. What I wouldn't want to buy is that they thought there's a cap to how much we're willing to offer Trevor Story.
Correct. Absolutely. And the other part of it, though, is that it's all speculation in terms of what they're expected to move Trevor Story to shortstop with Bogaerts. There's no guarantee that they are going to with him, that they are going to move him. Right. There's a lot of conversation that it could happen, but it may not. And what's Trevor Story going to do? Pout and say, no, I'm not playing anymore. I mean, I still think a lot is up in the air in that regard.
I think we're going to jump back to this in 15 minutes. And I encourage you guys to join the conversation. Should we open up phone lines? I don't know. Maybe not yet. It's still pretty early, and we'll decide. But for right now, we're going to continue the conversation in 15 minutes. But ultimately, the messaging, the feeling that I left with after not just last night's game, but after the beginning of the season, is the Mariners entered the offseason knowing exactly what they needed, and for myriad reasons were not able to find it. Does it matter more that we piece apart why they didn't find it, or does it matter more that they didn't, and what do you do now? Right?
Well, it's more of,
like,
a matter
of the end result is that they didn't add enough offense, and they don't have enough offense, and that right now, in this moment, they do not look like a contender.
Well, and you're really hoping, you're in a position of hoping that things come together. You're hoping that Jesse Winker can turn things on and things can start to click. You're hoping that Mitch Haner can come back at the right time. You're hoping that when Kyle Lewis comes up to and is added to this lineup probably sometime next week, that he will be a big boost. You're hoping that Julio Rodriguez will continue to keep up the pace that he has currently been on, which has been fantastic. There's just a lot of hope right now, which is fair in regards to, I mean, I guess you could probably say that about a lot of teams, but overall, there's not enough veteran players to solidify the craziness that a baseball season can provide. And you're asking a lot of young players to take steps and leaps forward. And if they don't do that, then you're left in a pretty tough spot. And I think that that is currently where the Mariners are at the moment, not to mention that some of the star players that you did add in Winker, as we've highlighted before, is not necessarily playing to the level that you were hoping and banking that he would. And that also has been a big difference for this team up to this point.
I encourage you guys to join this conversation. 206-421-3776. Should the Mariners have done more? Are you fine with where the team's at right now? How are you feeling about it? I want to know, especially considering that we just saw a game in which a free agent that they reportedly pursued heavily prior to him signing with Boston got 3 home runs, and that this offense has been struggling a bit of late. Feel free to join that conversation. I'm going to hit the text line back up in about 15 minutes, and I'll read some of those. 206-421-3776. Brady, take us to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
All right, first up, we have the Celtics evened up the Eastern Conference Finals with a blowout win over the Heat. What's the real headline?
It's a great win for Boston, a city desperate for championships. You know, it's like, I just love an underdog story. I don't know if it's like the child in me that loves that kind of sports story, but there's something about seeing an underdog, seeing a city that just needs it, needs a finals appearance, getting it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you love to see it.
I don't. I don't love to see it at all. You know what's really frustrating is that In all this conversation, we're frustrated about the Mariners' offense and the struggles, but this game wasn't on the offense. They scored 6 runs. This was the debacle that ended up happening in the 6th inning when you had the transfer of, okay, how do we handle getting George Kirby out and getting Sergio Romo in and that debacle. Then you have Wyatt Mills come in and Danny Young, and they can't throw over the plate. Stacey, that was rough. That was really, really tough to watch, because this was a game that was a fun game to start. And you looked at it through the 4th and the 5th, and you knew that this was going to be a back-and-forth battle in Fenway Park. And then it just completely got away from you, and there was nothing that you could do. It was just a complete runaway train, missed opportunity. But these are one of those where you just got to shake it off, and you got to come back the next day and hopefully continue to keep producing offensively. That's the only chance that you're going to have to beat these Red Sox, who have clearly a lot of offensive firepower.
Headline Rewrites.
All right, next up we have Rory McIlroy leads the PGA Championship after day one. Tiger Woods trails by 9 strokes. What's the real headline?
Woods will always draw eyes, but I don't know we'll see the reward again. That's my real headline, is that no matter what, the reason that you'll hear a midday Seattle sports station with 2 people who don't regularly watch golf sit down and watch golf is if Tiger Woods, a huge part of our childhood, is if Tiger Woods is playing. And what's kind of a bummer is, you know, it'll happen every time. Literally, the front page of ESPN will be like, Tiger Woods at Augusta practice round number 2.
Yep.
Is he going to join this X tournament or not? Is he going to join the Masters or not? The PGA Championship or not? It's because it's Tiger Woods, right? I feel like I enter every single one of those knowing I am watching because of him, and also knowing that we aren't going to see him again. We aren't going to see the version of Woods we're all kind of hoping and praying we
that get. Elite, dominant version of Tiger again.
Yeah, it's like you watch it knowing in the back of your mind that that's not the case. Like, he had 60-1 odds entering the PGA Championship for a reason. And
But it's crazy that every time that he enters a tournament, there's always the what if. Stacey, what if? What if he's able to reclaim the magic, right? And I do believe that his most recent Masters win is really kind of the reason why you really have that thought process. Because it's been going on for a while that Tiger has not been the same player and has dealt with injuries. And you knew that his career was kind of going in a downward trajectory. But when he had his most recent Masters win, it was like, oh, wow, he could do this at any point. At any given moment, he could be the best player, on the course. And everybody just wants to see a little piece of history, and if he could do that again. So it's amazing that he could still draw the attention, still draw the eyes, because everyone doesn't want to miss out on a piece of history if he is able, for a tournament, to be able to reclaim some of that unbelievable talent that he possesses.
Headline Rewrites.
The two-time defending champions, Tampa Bay Lightning, scored the game-winning goal with 4 seconds left in Thursday's win over the Florida Panthers. They lead the series 2-0 back to Tampa, heading back there. What's the real headline?
Rich get richer. Playoff version. It continues. Now, I will say, I actually, for both the... in the NBA playoffs, I'm going to backtrack to the first headline rewrite. In the NBA playoffs, are there individual players I would have liked to see, like... advance further into the East and West finals? Yes. But overall, I like the way that the playoffs are setting up. I like some of the narratives. I talked about, how far the Heat can go with kind of the tension between Spo and Jimmy Butler. And that's an especially fascinating story to me. But the NHL ones bother me the least. It's still kind of like a lot of the same, but I mean, good for Tampa Bay, man. I know Mike Lefko, the producer for Wyman and Bob, is a huge Tampa Bay fan. He's out there for a wedding now. I'm sure he's feeling elated that this is the case.
Yes.
They're a fun team to watch. They're phenomenally talented, and it is surreal watching an expansion team in its first season and kind of seeing the bumps and bruises they gather along the way, and then watching a team that is a championship. Just the way that they look different is, if you're a new hockey fan, a really fascinating watch. That being said, I'm obviously going to poke fun at any repeat champions that come back and continue to win, because I always root for the underdog.
Yeah, I mean, it's human nature, right? It's human nature to continue to keep rooting for the underdog, but you do have to marvel at sustained success. You do have to marvel at high-level success and how they're able to replicate it, right? I mean, the team that... flies in the face of all of it, in my opinion, is the New England Patriots, just because there was so much controversy surrounding them, right? I mean, you have the Tuck rule, that you have Spygate, you have
none of that Deflategate.
Deflategate, and then there was is that what they call it?
What was the scandal you're referring to?
That Bill Belichick was spying on...
Spygate,
yeah. Yeah, that he was spying on teams' practices and everything else. And so I think that when you're talking about, that controversy, that's why that franchise was so hated, during that period. But it is very impressive to watch that. And as I've gotten older, Stacey, I have learned to appreciate greatness more rather than hating somebody for the success that they've had and wanting to see somebody new. It's hard to win.
It is
hard. And to do that at a consistent level at the pros, it's impressive.
I think that what I've become more interested in as I've gotten older is the psychology behind winning teams. The new challenges that it presents when you win, right? The Super Bowl hangover, for instance, they talk about in the NFL. Well, part of that isn't just like, oh, you have bad luck and now you have a Super Bowl hangover. It's like, can you repeat, can you manufacture now artificially that kind of hunger and drive when you've already achieved it? It's fascinating. All right, I want to get back to that conversation. We were going to get to the Seahawks. I'm going to push that back a little bit, but one NFL Network personality says the Hawks are underrated. Is he right? We're going to bump that back. Instead, we're going to get back to our conversation. The Mariners on the other end of an unfortunate what-if scenario. So what can they do about it? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we began the show by talking about, not so fun, Trevor Story hitting 3 home runs against the Mariners. Trevor Story and the Red Sox as a whole not having the start to the season that they wanted, which is weird. Middle of your lineup hitting over 300, and yet somehow you're just kind of falling apart, which... I don't know if they've got a struggling bullpen or the rest of the lineup is struggling, but their lineup just looks so solid. It's their record surprises me.
Yes, me too.
That being said, Brady, I want to jump to let's start with what Jeff Passan had to say We have a little bit less time here, so I want to jump right into it. We're getting back to our conversation about not necessarily whether the M's should have added story, since what's done is done, but whether they should have added more this offseason and what you do about it now. So go ahead and start with cut eight.
Trevor Story, you can make an argument that they should have because they kind of did offer something in that neighborhood or were willing to go up into that neighborhood. But that was also before the lockout, and their calculus changed afterward. So, I understand why fans want teams to do things now, because we live now. They have to think, okay, how are we going to stack these moves on top of each other? And if we get Trevor Story right now, who does that prevent us from getting next year, for example?
Question. He talked about the calculus changing. Oh, I think their calculus changed after the lockout, and so they didn't end up adding Story. What do you think he means?
It is hard for me to decipher. I've listened to this a couple times, and I'm really trying to decipher how he meant it, right? And, of course, Jeff Passan buttons it up very nicely, so you can't really read more into it. But I have a couple thoughts that, you know, maybe they felt like their calculus changed in regards to here's my two conspiracy theories, okay?
Love a conspiracy theory.
Number one, that when they got through the CBA negotiations, that there were more playoff teams added, right? So that meaning that you don't have to the demand for games that you have to win to make the playoffs is, you know, right around 90 games. It could be below that potentially, and therefore you don't necessarily need to just go all in and blow out your payroll just to be able to try to compete for the playoffs. Maybe that was something part of it. Maybe they felt like they didn't need to overextend themselves at that point in time to get somebody like Trevor Story because it wasn't necessary for them in their calculation with the roster that they had and the things that they were banking on, that it was just 100% this is what they had to do. That if it worked out for them and if it was in the contract and the parameters that they wanted, then great. But if not, they were not going to overspend for something that they felt like they were already in somewhat range to accomplish. You buying that?
It is not an angle that I'd thought of before. With Trevor Story, what I assumed is Jerry DePoto said that the Mariners had made offers at a number of free agents. I think the number he had was six, that there were five or six big-name free agents they were targeting, and they got one of them. That we can all assume is Robbie Ray. I have always assumed that the other free agents include Chris Bryant and Trevor Story. Chris Bryant signed with for a ton of money, and Jeff Passan said, I would have laughed if the Mariners would have offered him more than that. So that can be something where you can excuse not paying that much, and he's been injured off and on to start the season. Trevor Story signed with a team where there is a quicker path to being their starting shortstop. So you can kind of think, well, maybe he went with his positional preference. And no matter what Seattle would have offered him, he would have said, no, thank you. I would like to be a shortstop. And you have a shortstop that you've extended and you have no plans to move. So I'm going to move on. The end result is still the same, which is that the Mariners just didn't add enough in the offseason. So I don't know what to make of it, right? Like, if you can look at the reasons and you can say, hey, I see why free agent X, Y, and Z didn't end up in Seattle, the end result is the same. And I don't know how to feel about the end result if I can't find something to be mad at. I want something to be mad at, Jake.
I don't necessarily agree with that proposal of that thought, but I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
Thought I'd throw that out there, and it could or could not be true. The second thing that I want to throw out there to you is that they knew that they wanted to pivot, or that they were highly interested. Jerry DePoto was highly interested in acquiring Jesse Winker. That Jesse Winker was a player, much like Adam Frazier, that Jerry DePoto and their staff admired from afar and thought to themselves, gosh, if we could get somebody that has an OPS of well above 900, who statistically mashes against right-handed pitching, that if we could add that type of bat to our lineup along with Eugenio Suarez, we do not need to go out and overextend ourselves for somebody like Trevor Story. That with the deal that they made with Winker and with Suarez, that backs them off and takes them out of the running, so to speak, for the urgency to acquire a bat like Trevor Story or insert any other name that you would want in the infield. Because this one, I'm a little bit more, but I'm buying this angle a little bit more.
You buy into the idea that they were like, actually, we think Jesse Winker is just genuinely a better player to add than Trevor Story.
Yeah.
Statistically,
you could convince yourself of that. And I saw a lot of people putting that out there that, oh, hey, look at Jesse Winker's OPS. Look at Jesse Winker's numbers compared to all the other top names that are on the market. And I think that that was a lot of what Jerry DePoto was thinking in that process of, hey, you talk about big bats. We weren't able to get it done in free agency, but here's how we're going to get it done in trade. And guess what? It's going to be more cost effective for our team. This will be a win-win situation.
I like the angle of you explaining that the Mariners' approach to the offseason, specifically with big-name free agents and specifically with Trevor Story, could have been, look, there are more playoff teams post-CBA, so you don't need to spend more, that there was a limit to how much you were willing to offer Story, or that you genuinely felt Jesse Winker was better, that any, all, or a mix of those things could be true. However, one thing that I cannot separate myself from is that the Mariners have not made the playoffs for 20 years. There should be a sense of urgency, a sense of frustration, and a sense of anger around that. That you entered the offseason with a ton of money to spend, and for whatever reason, you didn't spend it. The end result is not a drastically improved team. I recognize it's May. I recognize we're about 40 days into the season, right, Brady, around there. 40 days into the season, you're still getting everything figured out. And it's far too early to panic in a 162-game season, but it's certainly not too early to start wondering whether you should have done more, to which right now I think the answer is yes. How could you have done more and what were the reasons you didn't are what I don't know. What I do know in the end is that it did not feel good to watch Trevor Story hit 3 home runs against a team that since I was a child has not been in the postseason.
Yeah, it
makes me mad.
Well,
that's all.
It made me want to throw a chair through my window. That's how I felt, and that's what I tweeted
don't
out
do
yesterday.
That.
I'm sorry.
Like, I was gone for one weekend. I come home and we don't have a window anymore.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, that's what happens. Okay, I'm alone. I'm a bachelor, and then I just watch this debacle.
You want to admit to go watching a movie by yourself?
Okay, I was so mad.
I didn't mean to put you on blast. I'm sorry.
I was so mad and I was so depressed that I was at home all by myself. That I went to an empty movie theater and went to go see the new Doctor Strange movie.
Were you just crying by yourself, texting Brooke, being like, hey, here's what I thought about the movie, let me know.
It's terrible.
Dude.
Actually,
let me tell you what.
Yeah,
Bachelor weekends are tough, man. They're gone. Your family's gone for an hour, and then you're like, I'm actually really lonely and sad.
Yes. You look around, you do some little things, you know, hey, you maybe do something in the yard or, you know, clean up a little bit, and you're like, okay, well... And then what?
And now who am I?
Yes.
We are obviously going to be getting back to this a lot. We're going to go pretty heavy with Seahawks here because there are two questions I care about most today. Number one, should the Mariners have done more in the offseason and what can they do about it now? Offseason's done. You're in the season. What can you do about it now? That's the first question I care about. We're going to be revisiting that all day. The second question I care about that I'm leading into is one that is going to spark a debate. I already know on the text line because I see it every single time. Do you need a top quarterback to win a Super Bowl? We're going to get to that in about 20 minutes. Before then, I'm going to lean into it by telling you one NFL Network personality who says the Seahawks are underrated. Is he right? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Hi, I forgot to tell you guys that we have some pretty awesome guests today. Mariners reliever Penn Murphy going to join us. I wonder if he has a brother that I can awkwardly ask
you know,
about,
I like actually think he does.
I think he might.
And I still think you should shoot your shot. Let's see how this goes.
Shoot my shot, but with the question, not asking him about his brother. Also, Curtis has informed me that like maybe Penn Murphy was a model, but like how do I ask? How do we ask that? I'm nervous about that. TBD to see if I actually will.
We'll figure it out. We'll find a way.
Tim Kirkjian also going to join us coming up at 1. Plenty of baseball coming your way, but I want to go Seahawks for the next two here. One NFL Network personality says the Seahawks are underrated. Do you agree with him? Is he right? So, of all people, not someone I would expect. Greg Rosenthal, friend of the show, says the Seahawks are underrated. Now, he's not saying the Seahawks are going to go out and make a deep push into the playoffs and Drew Lock is the guy. No, no, no. What he says is he actually really, two things. One, really believes in the defensive power that they have, that there's some real potential there to have a ton of pass rush. He says Uchenna Nwosu was a smart pickup from the Chargers. He really liked last year's debut for Daryl Taylor. Likes Boye Mafe's athleticism. Mafe, the second round pick they made this year. He says there could be a ton of pass rush. The second thing is he said that there is a lot of variability on the offensive line. They could be horrible or they could be above average. So if you get above average offensive line play and then you get the defense that he's expecting and passable quarterback play, he says, I could see them finishing with a winning record.
I think that is a very, very optimistic point of view from Greg Rosenthal. Very much so. Now, I understand where he comes to with that conclusion, but that is very much saying that the Seahawks are not only going to have a good defense, that they're going to make a big jump from the last couple years to this year by just having a good defense to having an elite defense. And to me, that is a big jump for this team. I like the pieces that they've added to this roster and this defensive line. I think that there's some really good players, and I think this has a chance to be a very solid unit. And I do agree with the fact that the pass rush could be significantly improved. I love the fact that they got younger, they got more explosive. And Chinna Nwosu and Daryl Taylor and Boye Mafe, they should add more explosion to the edge and to that presence. I am going to be curious how they're able to package that together, and ultimately, are they going to be able to get that consistent pass rush? Because they're really banking on Daryl Taylor taking the next step, Stacey, and being that double digits sack producer. Because Nwosu is a good contributor, I don't think that he's going to be a double digit guy. The only one that has that potential is Daryl Taylor, and they need him to do that to be able to have the type of defense that I think that they're really, really trying to accomplish.
There's also Jamal Adams in the mix. Clint Hurt, was he on yesterday with Mike Salk? Clint Hurt earlier this week with Mike Salk talking about the way that they want to use Jamal Adams and all but admitted, like, yeah, we could use him even better than we have been, and said that he wants to be able to take advantage of what Jamal Adams is good at, one of them, playing in the box and playing underneath. And so finding ways to basically get him involved with the pass rush once again. I think that obviously gives them an advantage there. What I'll say is I have a statement and I have a question. Number one, I don't think the defense has to be elite for Seattle to have a winning record. If they want to get to a Super Bowl with a formula that includes not having a good quarterback, the defense needs to be elite. Top five or better.
Yes.
If they want to get a winning record, I think you can have some bumps along the way. What needs to happen overall? It could be the defense. It could be the quarterback. For instance, Greg Rosenthal says the answer is passable quarterback play. To you, Jake, what needs to happen for the Seahawks to surpass expectations? Let's say expectations are that they have a losing record. They have five wins. Let's just say baseline expectations.
I would say that what they would have to have, and I know that everyone's going to point to the defense in terms of what they need to have in order to be successful, but I would argue that what they need to have is they need to have a really strong presence in their running game, that they need to have a great running game, an elite running game, because quite honestly, that's where it started. That's where it started. Everybody focuses on the Legion of Boom and the creation of the Legion of Boom and that defense, but the addition of Marshawn Lynch, that trade for Marshawn Lynch in 2010, was the statement piece that really got things moving and got things on track for the team. And you look at Marshawn Lynch's contributions.
So underrated, by the way. I'm going to say around 1,200, around 1,400, and 13 and 14, respectively.
I mean, 2011, he's over 1,200 yards. He provides 12 touchdowns. 2012, almost 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns. 2013, almost 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean,
got it.
So you're looking at the contributions of Marshawn Lynch, who arguably, and I don't think it was much of an argument at all, the best running back in all of football over the stretch of, you know, four or five years, very comfortably there in Seattle. To me, it started with the running game, and then everything else built off that. Then they built the elite defense, and then they were able to add Russell Wilson, to kind of be the catalyst to everything else and for them to take off to that next step. So I really believe that their running game with Rashad Penny, with Ken Walker, that offensive line needing to be above average, not a disaster, that needs to come together for this team, because it will help out your defense in the long run and make them better. It will make them better if you're able to physically be able to attack teams with your running game.
All right. I want to get into one of my favorite debates of all time, and it's one that's going to continue to rage on until the Seahawks find their guy of the future. Maybe they already have him, maybe they don't. But the question is, can you win a Super Bowl without a franchise quarterback? And a listener rightfully asked me to clarify that, so I'm going to continue to do that after the break. But without a franchise quarterback, can you win a Super Bowl? That's next.